ebooks have exploded, and I mean exploded in popularity. The origin of this popularity was during the pandemic, you remember that, and it's seen no slowdown ever since. Ebooks are easy to access from libraries to readers. And regarding libraries, you would think that ebooks are a large plus because of the way they allow libraries to provide access for readers to unlimited number of books that take up, when you think about it, no physical space other than a hard drive. That's pretty much it. Now, while that's a great thing, it's also more costly for libraries. And you probably believe, as libraries have been under financial challenges of a variety of sources as of late, this adds to the fiscal difficulties that they have to operate under from time to time. Here to explain how this is unfolding and being dealt with is the director of the Hoboken, New Jersey Public Library, Official Issues and Ideas Librarian, Jenny Poo. How are you today, Jenny?
I am so happy to be back on. How are you, Chris?
Always a pleasure to talk about libraries and, well, in some cases, remind people, hey, there's a library in your town. Go into it sometimes. You'll be amazed at what you're going to find there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you would be.
HobokenLibrary.org to learn more about Jenny's home turf. And talking about ebooks, Jenny, mm-hmm. how over recent years, how have you seen the growth of interest and use of ebooks? Because from my personal experience, and I'll confess, I left hardcover books kicking and screaming, maybe because doing what I do, I was just exposed to so many of them. I mean, back in the day, you know, 5-10 years ago, every publisher used to send every book to me, to the point when I moved one point and I saw these books all in boxes. I said, you know what? I'm renting a van. There was a Salvation Army store, thrift shop in my town. I loaded them up with so many books, I think they named a wing of the store after me. But as far as what you've seen with ebooks, how quickly have they been embraced by so many people?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's a point of access. What we've seen in New Jersey, not just in Hoboken, and actually nationally, that demand for ebooks and audiobooks are skyrocketing for convenience, for accessibility, for point of access. And libraries, you know, we spend more every year to try to keep up. At Hoboken, where I'm director, we now spend more on digital content than we do on physical books. But what most people don't realize is that libraries, as public institutions, we have zero ability to negotiate the price, their terms, or even how long we get to keep access. And what's interesting about this problem and why it's compounding is, you know, any other public institution spending this much public money, you would expect to have a say in the deal, and libraries don't. And that's why the New Jersey ebook bill that we have introduced is that's the problem that we're trying to address.
And I think it's the problem is added to by the fact of when you used to think of physical book publishers, there were a bunch of publishers from every size, from the major ones in New York City, local ones somewhere in the middle of Iowa. But for ebook publishers, there's a lot fewer, which creates a lot more encompassed, I don't want to say conspiratorial activities, but they're sitting in the catbird seat, and they can pretty much, at this point at least, dictate what they want the cost to be for libraries.
That's correct. You know, a handful of publishers, really five right now, control the vast majority of the most in-demand titles. These are the bestsellers that all of our patrons, you know, line up for, including myself, right? I'm a big reader. And what's happening is that not only do they control those high in demand titles, they set the terms. And there is no negotiation on the library's part. We either accept those terms or we don't offer those titles. And so what that's happening is because they have unilateral control over the terms, which are then executed by our platforms, we end up, you know, having to negotiate this really tough terrain of high prices, restricted access, and just huge demand. So that's why, from a user standpoint, if you've used a library ebook app like Libby, for example, our most popular one, you know, sometimes you can wait up to months for a title. And a lot of folks don't understand why, and I totally get it. And that's because the terms under which we operate are opaque, and we have zero ability to negotiate it, which is really unusual in a public procurement environment.
And you think, too, for the authors that these ebook publishers represent, Why do you want to limit people's access to their works? Because most recent stats show about 30% of the reading population are regular readers of e-books. That number obviously increased, and they're seeing that number going to 35 to 40% much sooner versus later. But these licensing fees, I was doing some background, the best sellers, you buy the license, it's not for a year, like a radio station license music to play for a year, and every year you have to re-up, whether you're streaming or over-the-air radio. But some of these best-selling books, you're limited to maybe a couple of dozen downloads at a time before you have to re-up the license.
That is correct. And there are different models of licenses. But yes, the most common model operating that we have is 26 checkouts or 2 years. Sometimes it's just 1 year. And you're right, when you have a huge bestseller, that means, of course, every library tries to buy multiple copies of that license. But it's not enough when you have hundreds and hundreds. In some libraries outside of New Jersey, thousands of people on the wait list. That's just not sustainable.
So with Jenny Poo, who is the director of the Hoboken, New Jersey Public Library, hobokenlibrary.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Let's get into this bill, because this is, in a way, if you look at it in a wider scope, not just in New Jersey, where this has been shot down by courts, there's a possibility this could work. It's by State Senator in New Jersey, Andrew Zwickard, represents Middlesex County, and this would prohibit publishers from entering into contracts or licensing agreements for libraries that limit libraries' normal lending practices or cost them more than what the public pays, which sounds all well and good on its own as a standalone, but this was tried in Maryland, tried in New York, and the Association of American Publishers got it shot down in court because of federal copyright laws, which I get it, and I've seen the websites in the dark web, they call it, where ebooks, you can download it and pay for free. It's almost like pirate radio stations. And what I've long said to the FCC, I now have to say to the Association of American Publishers, why go after people who are trying to be legitimate, like libraries and commercial radio stations? Go after the pirates. Spend your time and money going after them. I mean, that's knock down the crime. But I'm saying that where this has been shot down before, there's an open door through Connecticut. They passed the law last year to compel industry changes. And there's a trigger on this, meaning it only takes effect when one or more states with a combined population of 7 million pass a similar law. Opens the door for New Jersey now, doesn't it?
It sure does. And multiple states are more moving forward on this right now. Like you said, Connecticut passed similar legislation that New Jersey has since introduced, and it was an overwhelming 35-1 majority in their Senate, and it was sponsored by a Republican in Connecticut. Rhode Island introduced their bill. What we're seeing here is, you know, the legal case on this is not as set as AAP, the Association of American Publishers, would like to see it. The underlying cause of this is that we're seeing more and more states coming forward because this market was never designed with libraries or the public having a real voice. And so now we're speaking up on behalf of the public, right? We don't want people to be on wait lists for months and months, right? And we want libraries, our mission is to deliver literacy, is to be able to help people discover authors and books, right? We're all part of this beautiful reading ecosystem. To your point, I mean, authors, we want more people to read and discover. So restrictive terms like this is counter to our mission. It's not good for the public. And really, it's really not a good use of taxpayer dollars either.
And everything you're talking about, too, with cost, that leads me to believe the latest stat shows that 28% of libraries in the U.S. do not offer ebook lending services, which makes me think those are the smaller libraries that can't afford, can't pick up the cost that these publishers of ebooks are creating, thus, again, restricting it. You only have one hard copy of a book versus you can have, depending on what your server allows as far as traffic is concerned, a couple of dozen, even more so, people reading the book at the same time. And in the rotten weather that hopefully we're over and done with around here in the Northeast, someone gets up and looks out the window. I don't want to go out. I wish I could have a book right now. They can't access an ebook. Well, that's a lost time of reading and learning and enjoyment and entertainment that's taken away from that person because of this situation.
And it's not just entertainment. For my mother, you know, she lives in a senior community in Texas. And when I went to visit her, I know this is New Jersey-based, but it's relevant. I went to visit her, and the first thing that her neighbors and friends talked about was the audiobooks that they borrow from their public library there and the e-books. And why was the wait so long? Because for accessibility reasons, right, for some populations, that is the way they read now, right? It isn't. Of course, we have large print books, but getting back to what you said earlier, too, those smaller libraries, right, especially the rural libraries, the libraries in island communities, digital access is the primary way they get, you know, access to library materials. So we are entering into a period where this is, like you said, it started in COVID. It hasn't abated. This is a permanent change in user behavior, and we are trying to meet those needs in a sustainable, responsible way with our taxpayer dollars.
So if you want to get a hold of State Senator in New Jersey, Andrew Zwicker, and encourage him to continue with his efforts. I mean, he's been a good guy for libraries here in the state, too, with protecting them from lawsuits, criminal charges by people who are doing the book banning, which, thankfully, that's subsided. Not entirely, but it's less annoying than it used to be. They've moved on to other issues, I guess, of issues to jury. You know, those people have short attention spans. That's one good thing about them. And if you've never explored ebooks before at your library or download off of Amazon, try it. And again, I was a devoted, dedicated hardcover book reader, and now I've got a tablet computer that has more books on it than an entire room of bookshelves used to have. So so for space alone, you're looking around your library, and you can have a whole library in your hand if you're on the plane, on the bus, in the car, wherever the case may be. That is just so much better with e-books. So if you've never tried an e-book, I encourage you to do it. And certainly if you're in the Hoboken, New Jersey area, Hoboken Public Library, Jenny will take good care of you. You can find out more about their services, e-books and otherwise, hobokenlibrary.org. Jenny, always an education. You are an advocate for books, advocate for libraries, an advocate for truth about the both. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.